So growing up in Worcester, Massachusetts, on Thanksgiving Day, we would travel back to the house that my mother was born and grew up in New Britain. And for years, the travel back to Worcester, we'd always get back at least in time for what was a yearly tradition on television, pre-Netflix and pre-VHS recorders. I think it was about 8 or 9 o'clock, The Wizard of Oz would be the film you'd watch together as a family on Thanksgiving Day. But over time, I think that film became sort of passé, you know, really too old-fashioned for a new generation. So for the longest time, I wanted to say that Close Encounters of a Third Kind was the film that replaced Wizard of Oz on Thanksgiving night. But then this week, I finally realized I do have a faulty memory, and I believe it was instead, E.T. Replaced Wizard of Oz for that annual Thanksgiving film. Nonetheless, Close Encounters remains the theme of today's service and Kate and my sermon. Today, All Saints Day, we are recognizing and celebrating the close encounters we have all had with our special loved ones. Close encounters that have enriched our lives and indeed made us who we are. In addition, with our sharing of Holy Communion later on in the service, we will celebrate the close encounter that we have with God each time we remember the life and the love of our guide and teacher, Jesus. But finally, each and every day of our lives, be it at work, at home, in the cash register line, over the phone, we can have loving, meaningful, and very human encounters, close encounters with friends, with families, with coworkers, but sometimes even with perfect strangers. In the lesson that Sally will read for us, it's fitting. In the letter to the church at Ephesus, the members of that early church are exhorted to exhibit gentleness, patience, humility, love, and peace in all their human relationships, to lead lives worthy of their calling as disciples. And so if today, if you and I begin to make that commitment each day to begin our days with gentleness, patience, and love, we will truly experience close encounters as our days unfold. And all of these encounters, be it with friends, family, with strangers, all of these close encounters are of the first kind.
Our reading today is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, found in the Pew Bible on page 190. In the New Testament section. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
So cute little Nora was preparing to celebrate her fourth birthday. And the day before her birthday, she actually made a remarkable confession, I guess, if you will, to her mother, Tara. She said, "Mom, I really do like old people a whole lot. They walk slowly like I walk. They have soft skin like I have soft skin. And I just want to love them because they're going to die soon." So So the next day, her birthday, Nora said to her mom, can we go and get some cupcakes for my birthday? And of course, you never say no to a birthday girl. So off they went to the grocery store, and the mom, Tara, put Nora and her younger sister in one of those big, cumbersome grocery carts that was shaped like a rocket or a car or something like that. And so they headed down to the bakery section and grabbed the cupcakes and were heading toward the cash register when Tara spotted one of those clearance bins, and she was looking over the almost expired bottles of ranch dressing and the cans of Ensure. And during that time, good old Nora stands up very excitedly in the cart, sees an older gentleman, and she yells out, "Hey, old man, it's my birthday." Well, of course, the mom wanted to sort of just shrink down, but before Tara could say anything, the man said, "Hello, young lady, happy birthday." Well, Nora and the man began to chat, sort of like old friends, chatted for a few minutes, and then it came time to say goodbye, and so Nora said to the man, "Thank you so much for sharing a part of your day with me." And the old man said, "No, thank you. This made my day." So Tara and the grocery cart started down back to the cash register, but then made a detour. They went down the other aisles to look for the old man. The old man was, he hadn't shaven. He was looking pretty old, wasn't dressed very well, hadn't really brushed his hair, but they found him. And they went up to him, and the mom said, "Would you mind us taking your picture with Nora, the birthday girl? She would really like to have a picture of you." And he was first sort of stunned, confused, but ultimately delighted. And so Nora and the man started to pose, and Nora put her soft hand on his soft hand, and then she lifted it up and kissed it, and then brought it to her cheek. And that was the picture that the mom got. Well, they continued to talk. The man said, "You can call me Dan or Mr. Dan," and they chatted, stopped everything on that aisle. No one was getting by, but no one really cared. They saw what a magical moment it was. And then they finally parted. Tara, in writing about this story, she said, "I would be lying to you if I didn't say that I was a teary mess after that encounter." So much so that that night on Facebook, she put the photo and put what had happened during that encounter. And I am not wise about Facebook ways, but apparently within not too long, she got a private message from someone who recognized the photo of Dan, of Mr. Dan, and said, the message came back and said, "You don't know this, but your encounter with him probably made him a very happy man. You see, about 6 months ago, his wife, Mary, passed away, and he's been brokenhearted ever since." Well, Tara wrote the woman on the other end of that message and said, "Could I get the phone number?" So they got Dan's phone number, called a few days later, and before you know it, the mom and Nora went to the small, tiny little house where Mr. Dan lived. Still, it had some mementos of his beloved wife, Mary. But they came in, and Dan had already set up a little kids' table with paper and crayons. And Dan said to Nora, "Could you draw me a picture that I could put on my refrigerator?" And she went right to work to draw him a picture. They were there for 3 hours. They had lunch. He had lunch prepared, chicken nuggets. And during their lunchtime, the old man, Dan, sort of wiped the ketchup off of Nora's face. And he even let Nora finish up his nuggets. Then as they were going toward the door, the front door, they went out the front door. He had a rose bush right out in front. He took a pocket knife out of his pocket, cut off a single rose, and then spent a few minutes making sure he had cut off every thorn on that rose. and gave it to Nora. Well, that dried rose in stem is in a Ziploc bag every night underneath Nora's pillow. They stayed in touch, they visited often, thought of each other. He came to Thanksgiving, became a part of the family. Then there was one encounter where Tara and Dan were talking, and Dan said, you know, since my wife died, I had not had an uninterrupted night of sleep. But since meeting your daughter, Nora, I sleep soundly through the night. Nora healed me, he said. Nora healed me. So close encounters can happen. Yes, they happen with our loved ones, our family, our friends, but close encounters can happen each and every day with perfect strangers. And perfect encounters happen when we bring a gentleness to them, a kindness and a patience and a love. These encounters can heal us as we go through life. And as we will now hear in the next story, these close encounters can sometimes stay with us for a lifetime, if not forever.
It was in the 1966 Reader's Digest edition, the story of Paul. He grew up in a neighborhood, and his house was one of the first to have a telephone. This shiny thing that was up on the wall that he couldn't reach little Paul, but he'd hear his mom talk on it, and he was fascinated with it. And inside this phone was this amazing genie in a bottle called Information Please. He was amazed by Information Please. You could ask the person at the other end the time or any kind of facts and they would answer you. And so one day, Paul's mom was out visiting a neighbor and he decided, probably not wisely, to play on his dad's workbench. And he was playing on his dad's workbench and he hit his finger with a hammer really hard and it hurt. But little Paul decided he wasn't going to cry because no one was there to give him sympathy. So he went through the house, kind of sucking on his finger, and then he saw that magical phone. And so he scooted into the other room, pulled up a stool, lifted up the phone, held the receiver to his ear, and said,
Information, please.
Information?
I hurt my little finger.
Where's your mommy?
She's not home. Nobody's home.
Uh-oh, is your finger bleeding?
No, but it really hurts a lot. I hit it with a hammer.
All right, well, why don't you go to the ice box and chip off a piece of ice and hold it to your finger until your mommy comes home.
Thank you.
Paul loved Information Please, so much so that when he was stuck on his geography homework, he would call Information Please and ask where Philadelphia was. Or when he caught a pet chipmunk in the park next door and didn't really know what to feed the chipmunk, guess who he called? Information, please. Or his math problems. He loved Information, please. One day, though, his pet canary, Petey, died, and he was really upset. And so he picked up the phone and called his friend, Information, please. She could tell he was really upset, and so she tried to say the usual adult things to soothe a child that was just missing his pet canary, but it wasn't working. And finally, Paul said to her, but why do canaries sing so beautifully and bring so much joy to my family only to end up in a heap of feathers at the bottom of the cage? Information, please, knew that she had to dig deep and say something that could console this small boy. And so she said, Paul, sometimes we have to sing in other worlds. So Paul went about his business, and at about 9 years old, his family moved across the country to Boston. And there was a phone. It looked different than that phone in his house on the West Coast, but there was a phone, but he never really touched it. But he would remember fondly that woman at the other end of the line who was gentle and kind and patient with him, whatever question he might ask. And he remembered fondly how serene those days of being a small child felt. A few years later, he went off to college back on the West Coast, and his layover was in Seattle. And without really thinking, he walked to the closest phone, picked up the receiver, held it to his ear, and said,
"Information, please."
Those few seconds passed, and that familiar voice said, "Information?
Can you please tell me where Philadelphia is?"
"I assume your finger has healed by now."
"Is it really you? Do you know what you've meant to me these many years?"
"Do you know what you've meant to me? You see, I always wanted to be a mother and have kids, but I never could. I looked forward to your calls." Before hanging up, Paul asked if he could call her again when he was back on the West Coast. And she said, "Of course, just ask for Sally." And a few months later, Paul was back on the West Coast. And so he picked up the phone and he asked for Sally. "Is this a friend?" the woman on the other line, who wasn't Sally, asked.
"Yes, a very old friend."
"Well, I hate to tell you this, but Sally has been sick for 3 or 4 years, and so she's been working part-time. She passed away 5 weeks ago." As Paul was about to hang up the phone, the woman, the new operator, asked, "Is this Paul?"
"Yes, it is."
She said, "Wait, Sally left a note for you. Let me read it to you. You'll know what this means. Sweet Paul, there are always other worlds to sing in." Close encounters, personal encounters. They shape us, they make us smile, they heal us, they soothe us. And don't we all long for encounters with gentleness, with love, with peacefulness, with kindness? Our deep hope and prayer is that we all have encounters that fill our days, and that we always have a hand to hold, yep, and a rose to give away, a person at the other end of the line, and love to share. That is our hope and our prayer.